To Serve with Love. I don't know if you've seen the movie To Serve with Love, but anyway, I've pinched a little bit of that title. I hope you don't mind me messing about with it. Let's look back to last time I was preaching, which is a wee while ago now. I preached on Pilgrim's Progress. Have you progressed in your walk with the Lord? We used a passage from Galatians 5, and in it, verse 13 and 14, it said, serve one another in love, that the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbour as yourself. And then verse 6b, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And in verse 22, 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love,
joy, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness,
faithfulness. Oh, well done. Awesome. There are other fruit as well, of course, like such as forgiveness and generosity and sharing the good news of Jesus. Verse 24 said those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with all its passions and desires. Well, I've got a confession to make. I thought I was making headway, and guess what? Oops! We went on holiday and I got out of routine. Bad mistake turning the alarm clock off to get me up so that I could spend that first hour with the Lord and then walking and praying in tongues. Last time I said that the old self will not go down without a fight. How true that is. Time to get serious again. In John 13, Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Do you get the feeling Jesus is trying to get a message across? To serve with love. Being nice just doesn't cut it. God's type of unconditional love with no strings attached. I am greatly encouraged to see more and more of us being generous with food and at working bees and giving and caring. At the working bee, 10 people turned up. Brilliant. No one organised who was to do what. Everyone worked where they saw a need and brought the gear to do it. That's how a family, church family should work, in the spiritual as well as in the natural, with everyone knowing their passion and their calling from God and doing it. Has anyone visited someone in the church family this week to encourage and support? Cool, 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 cool. Ring, text, help, pray with them. The Brownie motto is do a good turn every day. Not a bad habit to develop. In the book of Nehemiah, Ezra the priest at the Passover feast, which lasted 8 days, read the book of the law, or what there was of the Old Testament at that time, and out of respect and awe of the Lord God Almighty, the people stood. From daybreak until noon, they stood outside. On the second day of the feast, they spent hours repenting of their sins and weeping. I'm about to read from John 15 the very words that Jesus spoke to his disciples and ultimately to us. On the night before he was crucified for you and me, so we can guarantee that what Jesus said was of great importance. So out of respect and with listening hearts, would you like to stand, please? And I promise you it won't take 6 hours. Okay. This is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 17. Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Thank you. You may sit now if you like. Thank you. Right. We're just going back to look over that passage. The vine and the branches. As you heard these words, did you tremble? Being a Christian is not for the faint-hearted, but boy, will it be worth it in the long run. Heaven or hell? There's no other choices. Get your heavenly passports polished, because Jesus will come to take all that are his to be with him. And I believe that time is getting short. Just look at the state of the world at the moment. We are walking right into the pages of the book of Revelation. Being left behind is not an option for me. Read Revelation. Being left behind is not pretty. As you may have realized, I love the garden and working in God's creation. So often the principles of gardening apply to us. Jesus used many parables, such as the sower, the mustard seed, the wheat and the weeds, good fruit, bad fruit, and now the vine. But this is not a parable with a hidden meaning. Like the others, Jesus spoke clearly about the vine as an illustration of our relationship with him. In verse 1, and you've got a page number for that, Phil, have you? 750. In verse 1, it says, I am the true vine. No other way to the Father. The people who think that being preserved in a crypto, whatever it is, and brought to life when the cure for everything and eternal life has been discovered, they're just living in fantasy. Every other god or religion requires people to earn their way to nirvana, utopia, or heaven. But God has done it for us. Jesus paid the price for us. How much does he love us? Not this much. Not this much. Not this much, but this much. And he died for us. That's how much he loves us. He willingly surrendered his whole life for us. We do stuff to show him that we love him, but not to earn his love that is given. Verse 2, he cuts off every branch in me, that's Jesus, that bears no fruit. With the raspberry canes, which won't fruit the second year, I am brutal. I cut them off at ground level. While every branch does bear fruit, he prunes. Ouch! Why? So that it will be more fruitful. Is the Father your vine dresser? Do you trust him and his skillfulness to do you good and not harm? It does say in Jeremiah that his plans for us are good. With grapevines, even the branches that are starting to bear fruit are pruned. Two nodes after a bunch, and you nip it off. Then the sap, or the Holy Spirit, if you like, the energy, will be then more concentrated on the bunch that is growing, producing excellent, succulent fruit. The same with us. Are we putting time and energies into distractions instead of what God has called us to do? There's plenty of those. Verse 3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken you. The word is the Bible, which needs to be read and then put into practice. Are our hearts soft towards God? The same sun will melt butter, but harden clay. Are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? When pruning fruit trees for cropping next season, I have to be ruthless. Any dead branches are the first to come off. Any branches that turn inwards where they'll not get enough light come off, and rank growth gets cut back by at least 2/3 and pruned to an outward-facing bud. What happens to the dead branches? Verse 6, Jesus said, and he is speaking to believers, such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire. God is love, but he's not a marshmallow God. He's mighty, majestic, but full of mercy, but also justice. He cannot let anything impure into heaven, otherwise it just wouldn't be heaven. That's why we keep a short list with God, repenting every day. Verse 5. We must remain in the vine, Jesus, to receive the life-giving sap, or the Holy Spirit, so that we can bear fruit to our Father's glory. Hang in there, folks. So, what needs to go? Not everything not done in love and faith. To serve with love. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said that even if we give a cup of water to a child, it is as if we've given it to Jesus himself. What do we feed our minds with? What do we read? What do we watch on our screens? There's an old computer saying, garbage in, garbage out. What we feed into our minds will come out of our mouths or into our attitudes and behaviours. Colin Urquhart spoke of coffee pot Christians. Take the lid off first to receive from the Lord, and then you have plenty to give away. Also, the Dead Sea, which has no outlet, nothing lives. But in the Sea of Galilee, water flows in and it flows out, and it is teeming with life. to serve with love, God's love. Pass it on. Verse 7. If you remain in me, always our choice. He doesn't force anyone. If he wanted robots, he would have made us robots. How do we remain in God's love? By obeying him. If we love him, we will want to serve him. Then we will have joy, real joy. That little word, if, appears in the Bible a few times. If you, then I. Verse 11. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. The doting Daddy God. He delights in us as we bow before him in humble obedience. He loves us. Verse 8. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Not just a few shriveled up looking little lumps, but sweet, juicy, scrumptious, abundant fruit, full of love for the Father and for others. Did you know that you are precious? In fact, priceless. Verse 13 says, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Exactly what Jesus did for you and me. That makes you and me priceless. Laying down our lives doesn't necessarily mean we have to die on the cross, but selfishness has to die. Selfless serving, to serve with love. Verse 14, do you want to be God's friend? He said, you are my friends if you do what I command. How cool is that? You are my friends if you do what I command. Put them into practice. In verse 15, everything I learned from my Father I have made known to you. As a child, Jesus must have been like a sponge, because at the age of 12, he could have debates with the temple teachers. He would not have had the scriptures in his home, because only the very rich could afford the handwritten parchments. Lord, make us like sponges, soaking up your word. We don't have the excuse of the word not being available to us. The Bible has remained the world's bestseller for decades, probably hundreds of years. Even for the blind or those who can't read, we have apps. By the way, Christian TV is not a substitute for reading the Bible, though the only one I recommend is Shine. Get the word from the mouth of the living God himself, in the Bible. Always check to see if what any human preacher or author says is correct. Beware, there are many false doctrines and teachers out there. Who likes to be chosen? Do you remember as a child when teams were chosen? You could jump up and go down going, pick me, pick me. But if you're anything like me, you finished up at the tail end. Good news, we are on Jesus' team, chosen, not just tail enders. He said in verse 16 and 17, you did not choose me, I chose you and appointed you to go and bear much fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. I have found that verse to be a real blessing to me over the years. He chose me and appointed me. Therefore, I can do it. Stop looking for someone better, more capable to come along. As a Sunday school teacher, I waited for years for God to send along somebody better. But he must have got fed up with that, with me thinking that way, because he then convicted me quite strongly. I chose you. Do you have a problem with thinking that you're not good enough? He chose you to be who? To do what? His appointed one. Lord, I pray you lift off us the not good enough syndrome. This I pray in Jesus' precious name. To serve with love. In Romans 12, 1, Paul says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And in verse 9, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never lack in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And then there's another scripture. There are these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Lord, help us to have victory over sin and become transformed by your word and your love. Because we receive your, so that we receive your love and pass it on. So that like a pebble in a pond, those ripples go on and on and on. Vine dresser, help us to submit to your pruning so that our lives become decluttered and holy, bearing much fruit and bringing glory to your name. Teach us to serve with love so that others will know that you live. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Okay, God bless you. I thought we'd do something different today, that in groups of three, to pray with each other. First of all, one thing that has been good this week. And then secondly, one thing that you have struggled with this week, and then just pray for each other. All right, so I'll give you, 5 minutes. So if you'd like to get into groups of three, that would be really good.